Well, we've been talking about the dinosaurs. We're going to continue that tonight. We'll probably end this, or not probably, we will end this lesson tonight and begin another one. Previs want me to tell you that he's been trying to get everything together, that in the next few weeks we should have at least some of the audio from these lessons on our website and then some of the PowerPoint lessons. Eventually we'll have them all on there, but he's working on trying to get all that together. Dinosaurs, of course, generate a lot of interest, not only in the little guys, but us bigger guys and gals. They've always been kind of a mystery. We do know, as we've read, that God created them. He created everything in 6 days. Remember, he told Job, he says, that the behemoth that I made or created along with you. So they're not something that existed at one time before man. They've existed right alongside of man. We mentioned that in 1822, Dr. Mantell and his wife Mary in England found some dinosaur teeth, and that began the search of dinosaur bones in earnest. In the past, it always seemed to be, as we look at it, at least in the last few centuries, dinosaur stories have been myths or fairy tales. We thought these were things that people had made up to maybe entertain children or whatever, to scare children, to keep them inside, whatever they wanted. But we know for a fact that these stories are not myths. They're true. Now, they may be embellished some, but there were great creatures alive with mankind. One of the things we noticed in our last lesson is that even the evolutionists, when they look at the dinosaur graveyards, as we call them, they all say something in common. They all seem to have been placed there by some flood. Of course, they say it was a local flood, but we know that it was the flood of Noah. It wiped out everything except for the male and female of different kinds of dinosaurs. After the flood, the environment of the earth was different. Since the global flood of Noah's day, as recorded in Genesis 6 through 8, provides an excellent explanation for dinosaur graveyards found around the world. The Bible explains that all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. As we mentioned, we've all seen the effects of floods, local floods. We've had floods here. It can cause great devastation, but it's isolated to a particular area. But can you imagine all of the waters of the heavens being opened up, all the waters from beneath the earth opened up, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights? And this wasn't a gentle rain. This was a judgment brought from God upon mankind. He was to wipe out the earth, start all over again, save the ones that were on the ark. Furthermore, all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. So those that say that the flood of Noah was a local flood just can't be true. All the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The whole world was flooded. And yes, these great dinosaurs were roaming at this time. They had covered the entire earth. As we mentioned, there are fossils of dinosaurs found on all continents, all parts of the world, even in the Antarctic, where it's freezing all the time. So the world was a different place before the flood. During that year-long flood of Noah, countless thousands of dinosaurs would have drowned and been buried quickly in muddy deposits, creating the fossilized dinosaur bones found all around the world today. It is reasonable to conclude that these dinosaur burial grounds became the well-known fossilized graveyards that scientists have discovered, not created by local floods, as they say, but by the worldwide flood that was brought upon the world by God in Noah's day, the one we read about in Genesis chapter 6 through 8. We may not have all the answers concerning the dinosaurs, but we do know that dinosaurs did exist, and they were created by God on the sixth day of creation, the same day that He created mankind. We know that man and dinosaurs lived side by side, not millions of years apart, as stated by evolutionists. We had noticed that there's lots of drawings, carvings, that depict different types of animals that we would call dinosaurs today. This is a lot of it back in the Middle Ages and before. As we mentioned, as far as modern time is concerned, we really didn't know for sure they existed until like 1822 when we started discovering dinosaur bones. And we find these bones, we're putting them together, and we can kind of give a general idea of maybe what they look like. Some of them we may not know exactly what they look like, but we know that they were huge, some of them. We know that dinosaurs were on the ark. They were with Noah along with the other air-breathing animals that lived on the earth at that time. God had commanded him to take all the air-breathing animals, male and female, and seven of the clean animals. So they weren't left behind. They were on the ark. And as we've mentioned, and some of you have gone to see the Noah's Ark Museum, and they say that there, is that these dinosaurs didn't have to be full grown. They could have just been babies. Most of the animals that were on the ark probably were just babies. Less food, less space, less taken care of. But for a fact, they were on the ark, one way or the other. We know that the world after the flood was completely different than the world before the flood. And this may have caused problems for dinosaurs, especially those that were cold-blooded, since the climate after the flood appears to have been a lot colder. This appears to be when the Ice Age came about. The large dinosaurs required large amounts of vegetation to keep them fed, and the climate after the flood was not tropical like it was before the flood, which may have hindered their survival. Those big old animals had to eat a lot of vegetation, or other animals, whatever the case may have been. But it had to be a large food supply for them to continue to live and to grow. I want to go back to this chart. We've looked at it before. This is the one showing the ages of the patriarchs. But one of the things that we really notice is that before the flood, mankind lived to be around 900 years old. Enoch up there is the only one because he was taken into heaven by God. But all of these lived to be around 900 years old. You imagine that? Living to be almost 1,000 years? But notice their ages after the flood. They began to decrease greatly. There seems to be something happened during that flood period. We've mentioned some of the possibilities. Again, we don't have all the answers. But we do know from fossil evidence that all the continents around the world have tropical plant fossils, even Antarctica. So what does that tell us? Some point in the past, it was tropical. So it appears to be that when God created the earth, He made the earth what? Perfect. He created mankind. Perfect. He built the earth for man. It was a paradise. Not only the Garden of Eden, but the whole world. Then man sinned. He was cast out of the garden. But the earth was still pristine. And it appears to have been, as I said, tropical. It probably continued that way until the flood. After the flood, as I mentioned, the climate changed drastically. We mentioned that the volcanoes would have disrupted the sunlight, the temperature would have been reduced. This is when the ice age took place that we've read about in our history books, our science books. Things weren't as conducive to these great creatures as they were before the flood. They probably didn't repopulate as well as they did before the flood. The dinosaurs could have also been wiped out over time as man began to spread around the world and the dinosaurs became a threat. Some of the drawings that we had seen is man fighting some of these great creatures. You know, we have bears, cougars. Did somebody see that picture the other day? I can't remember. Was it Boulder, Colorado, or someplace where the cougar was actually inside these people's houses and inside their house and ate their cat? They had pictures of it. Poor cat couldn't get out. There was a window apparently they'd left open, and this cougar got inside and he roamed around in there for quite a while. Now, what's going to happen to that cougar if it gets become a problem? They're going to get rid of it. Same with these dinosaurs. As the populations begin to grow and they begin to encroach upon the areas of these dinosaurs and the dinosaurs begin to cause problems, maybe killing livestock or even people, what are they going to do? They're not going to preserve it for science. They're going to wipe him out. So that's another great possibility is if mankind spread, you know, we wipe out species today. The passenger pigeon is no more. We almost wiped out the buffalo, the bison. So we have the capability of wiping out different types of animals. What a great and beautiful world that God has created for us to live in. May we give Him the praise and honor so that He so rightly deserves. For we know, we gladly proclaim that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. Any questions about our lesson on the dinosaurs? So I answered all your questions? It is interesting, but as I said, it isn't something that dinosaurs lived millions of years and then millions of years later mankind showed up. Man and dinosaurs lived side by side. Man is just kind of worn out. The dinosaurs have gone away, become extinct, a lot of them, for one reason or another. Climate, population of man, whatever it is. They lived. They roamed the earth. They coexisted with mankind. Yeah, we don't have all the answers. Don't have all the details. But we do know that God created them along with us. And they were great creatures of God. We read there in Job where God's talking to Job and said, "Have you not noticed Behemoth?" And describes this great animal. Then he talks about the Leviathan. Talks about this great animal. They were great creatures. I would love to have seen one of those from a distance. But they were great creatures. Sad, they're gone. But so are many other species of animals. They're gone. Yes, Elwood. Well, some of this has to do, you know, at one point we had a slide talking about the different layers of rock. And of course, evolutionists say that the further you go down, the older the fossils and everything is. That's not true, but that's what they say. So they have everything laid out in different periods of time. And so if something is found in that particular layer of ground, they automatically assume it's so many millions of years old. The carbon dating comes with, they are estimating how much carbon was in that particular rock or that artifact to start off with. You have to know the standard or what you're basing it on. And so they're already basing theirs on millions of years. And so it's false. It's going to be out of sorts from the beginning. They say to be accurate, you can't go back generally further than about 4,000 or 5,000 years to be accurate. Anything past that is really a guesstimate. And of course, the evolutionist isn't going to guess on the low side. They're going to guess on the high side because that fits their narrative. So yes, carbon dating is not an exact science. Yeah. And then another thing to think about, I don't know if I brought this up earlier or not. When God created this earth, He created it mature, full grown. I think we mentioned the fact, how old was Adam 2 minutes after God created him? Adam was 2 minutes old after God created him. 2 minutes before that. The question is, how old did Adam look like? Even though he was only 2 minutes old, did he look like a mature man? I'm sure he did. So any type of judgment that you would have done on Adam at that time, any scientist, they would not have said he was 2 minutes old. He's 40 years old. He's 50 years old, 100, whatever it was. Couldn't the same thing been done about the earth? If scientists had used carbon dating the day after creation, would it have shown that it was only 1 day old, or would it have shown maybe that it was thousands of years old? It could have just as easily shown it to be thousands of years old. We don't know how God made it look or appear to be under either observation with our eyes, our senses, or even scientific experiments. We don't know. It was mature when He created it. So the whole thing may be skewed as far as our scientific experiments are concerned, trying to figure out an age of certain rock formations. Yes?
Well, you've got a little bit of light because there's one of Paul's writings, you remember, that he says the earth is not made out of the things that you and I look at here. It's like, well, hey, yeah, well, that's what the earth is made out of. Because he said, if God spoke it into existence, so the makeup of it, or the formation of it, or the ingredient of it, you and I, we don't have the root. A better concept of really about that, because God just said, hey, I'm going to have a mountain there. And He spoke it into existence, and there was a mountain. We look at it and say, oh, yeah, it's made out of rock. The rock is all made of all right. So I don't think we have a concept of what God made it out of. He just spoke it.
Well, even in the Garden of Eden, He made everything mature. The fruit trees were already doing what? Producing fruit. Some of those fruit trees may take several years to grow up and produce fruit. So again, if you were there in the Garden of Eden, you had all your scientific instruments, and you were trying to figure out how old some of these things were, would your scientific instruments have been accurate? Probably not. The redwood trees out in California, do you think that when God created it, it was just a little old sprout? Or do you think it was actually full grown? It was full grown, ready to reproduce. So if you'd cut one of those trees down, you counted the number of rings, how many rings would you have come up with? Maybe it's God put there. Could have been several hundred. We don't know. So trying to guess all this stuff is really, it's useless. Because we don't know what age God put on it when he created it. Yeah, the Mount St. Helens, that, if you want to see that video again, I think I've got it up here. That was, to me, that's one of the greatest videos we saw. It really opened a lot of people's eyes. You look at the Grand Canyon, you see all the layering of rocks. Evolutionists say it took millions of years for it to form a layer and a layer and a layer and a layer. You look at what happened to Mount St. Helens, several hundred feet of rock formed in a short period of time. From one little eruption of Mount St. Helens. And also a canyon was formed from the eruption of Mount St. Helens. That was just kind of a small scale of what would have happened during the flood. Yeah, things have happened in the past that we have no concept of. Things didn't happen on a gradual basis as far as the flood was concerned. It really changed this earth. Yes, Terry. Well, the uniformitarianism, they say that what we see today is what happened in the past. You know, it's all been constants, been the same. So if you see a river like the Colorado River down at the bottom of this canyon, you say, wow, how many years did it take for that thing to carve out that canyon? So they kind of reverse it, as you say, and took, well, it took millions of years. Well, if you consider the flood, and there's, I think we talked about that, there's a theory out there that there was, after the Ice Age, there was a big lake that was formed. And this dam, earthen dam, broke loose. And it washed out the Colorado River, the Grand Canyon, much like the canyon that was formed from Mount St. Helens, in a very short period of time. It didn't take millions of years. So yes, God's worked on the earth in the past, and he continues to work on the earth today. But the flood was a great event. Like I said, it reshaped the earth as far as environment and geological and so on. It didn't shape as far as went from a square to a round earth, but it's always been round. But the environment and so on has changed drastically. Anything else? Now, everything has to be working together. You know, your body has, all of its systems have to be functioning at one time. If one system quits, what happens? We either become drastically sick or we die. So it isn't something that one system built upon another system. They all had to be working in unison immediately. And we talked about that during, back when we talked about like the day age theory, where some people say the days of Genesis were thousands or millions of years. Well, if that's the case, it's kind of like Troy said. You've had the flowers blooming, but you didn't have the insects that would cause them to reproduce, to pollinate. You'd have millions of years of darkness, millions of years of light, because the evening and the morning were the first day. None of it makes sense. The only thing that makes sense, each day was 24 hours, exactly what we have today. And everything was complete within that 6-day period of time. not over millions of years. I think Kenan and Liam and I went down to the cave there at Silver Dollar City a few weeks ago, and this guide that we're with, he said, as most guys that go through cave tours, this formation took so many millions of years to form. But he did say, at least that's what some people say. Now there are others that say it may have been around 4,300 years ago. I'll let you decide. So at least he gave both sides. So that was good. Okay, any other questions, comments? Yes. Now, it's according to what you call a dinosaur. You know, it's your alligators, your Komodo dragons. They're all said to be old forms of dinosaurs. Now, as far as the huge dinosaurs, no. You know, you got the Loch Ness Monster. He's still out there. Yeah, he gets around. Now they got this movie out called Megadon. It's about a huge shark. It did live at one time. It was huge. I mean, I think I brought that one tooth in. It's, you know, it's a big old shark tooth. They lived, but they're saying that, you know, maybe there's a possibility it still lives way down in the Marana Trench, 6-7 miles down. Good. Who knows? We haven't searched down there too much. But yeah, as far as recent times, we really haven't seen a whole lot. There are some pictures of, and how true they are, I don't know. Look on the internet. I think it was a Japanese trawler, fishing ship, maybe back in the 40s, 50s, something like that, pulled up a object, animal that was pretty decayed. But it looked like some type of big water creature that we don't have today. Again, I guess it's always possible they're down there. The ocean, we haven't, what is it? We've searched about 10% of it, if that much. You know, it's expansive, a lot of deep areas. We don't know. We find new creatures all the time. So I'm not going to say there's not anything down there, but we haven't seen anything recently. Anything else? That was lesson number 10.